Hejsan svejsan, hur går det? Det är Jörgen här med The Employer Branding Podcast. Brought to you by Link Humans, London's Employer Branding Agency. That's right, I'm going more Swedish every week I do this intro. This week, we are going inside the mind of a candidate. Well, actually 14,000 candidates. We're going to take a really close look at a piece of research looking at how candidates perceive the whole candidate and application process, from even researching a company to applying to interviewing and to sealing the deal. Very interesting stuff coming up in this week's expert interview. John Addison, how are you?
I am very well. Good to meet you, Jorgen.
And you. So, could you tell our listeners who you are and what you do, please?
Certainly. So, name's John Addison. I work for LinkedIn, and I'm the lead for talent solutions in the UK, which means that I'm responsible for growing, the market for our talent solutions here. And the talent solutions part of our business is the part of our business that really helps recruiters and businesses connect with and hire top talent in this market. So, delighted to do that.
Yeah, and I think most of our listeners are certainly very well familiar with LinkedIn, as well as your corporate solutions for HR departments. What I also like about LinkedIn is that you commission some nice research pieces every now and then. And this one called Inside the Mind of the Candidate popped into my inbox the other week, and I thought I'd ask you a few questions around this. Could you just tell us a brief overview of the piece of research and its methodology first?
Certainly. So very excited about this research. It's a global study. We've had 14,000 professionals respond to it, and it's predominantly designed to uncover kind of the habits and attitudes of job seekers currently in the market. And we're coming at this predominantly from the viewpoint that we firmly feel that it's worthwhile integrating kind of recruiter instincts based on their experience and knowledge of the recruitment market with really data-driven insights from the minds of job seekers. And it's really what's driven that kind of that research. It's designed to inform strategy for kind of both HR and talent acquisition leaders. And it's also kind of, we think, quite important for people who are employing, managing employer brand right now, just to get a real understanding of kind of the current behaviors and current thinking of, you know, both candidates and people looking to hire. So we think it's relevant and hopefully of interest.
Yeah, I would say it goes potentially a little bit beyond the scope of employer brand. But then again, you could say, where does it start? Where does it end? It certainly covers the recruitment process. So we've got a few sections. So I'm going to start with the first one, which is called Starting the Conversation. So how do candidates want to hear from recruiters? I mean, a lot of people complain about getting contacts from recruiters on LinkedIn in particular. So how do they want to hear?
Well, I think it's worth calling out, you know, the piece of research that demonstrates that certainly the professional surveyed here, from them, 63% state that they're still flattered to hear from recruiters. Mm-hmm. So, there are other measurements and metrics that stack this up for us. And here at LinkedIn, we're seeing a kind of all-time high in terms of in-mail responses. At the moment, that's kind of attributed to some of the kind of features that we put into our platforms that are driving that. Personalization is absolutely key as recruiters kind of message candidates. And personalized in-mails get the highest response rates. And you know, acceptance rates for personalized emails are 13% higher than those that aren't. So there are some other key kind of pointers there. Emails being concise is important. And we're sort of seeing that if they're under 100 words, there's again a 13-point average improvement in terms of response rates. And we think that's largely down to the fact that 75% of emails are now opened on smartphones, right? So this is very indicative of the way that the market has developed.
Yeah, Okay. And sometimes, you know, if you're trying to get tech developers for, or other sought after people, so like engineers and so on, they may not want to interact with a recruiter. Do you find that there's a difference if the actual hiring manager or the person working in that team reaches out versus the recruiter?
Well, the research again shows that involvement from a hiring manager during the process is absolutely critical. But I think what we'd see based on some of the other statistics, like for us, it's more critical that the right information is conveyed about the role in question and why it's such a great fit for the candidate. So what we're seeing is, you know, firstly, during the outreach phase, which happens way before the initial approach, there are certain key things that are critical in terms of feedback. Firstly, is the right information about the job being conveyed? So does the recruiter know that? It's still pretty key that salary information is provided up front and early, and the data suggests that money is still a key motivator when assessing, you know, job move. And I think one of the other kind of softer takeaways was, you know, when the message comes, it's really important that it's human and that it resonates on a personal level. So when that approach is made, ensure that you're, you know, creating a personal link, attributing, you know, particular things of interest in your employment history as to why the candidate may be relevant for the role, and using, you know, kind of non-jargon and making your messages hit home at a kind of emotional level. I think that's really key in the feedback.
And so let's say you are a tech recruiter and you're the fifth recruiter to reach out to the same person that week. How can you make sure you stand out, and how much information do candidates actually want in the first message? Should you try to go into talking about culture and mission, or is that making it just too long and you're just shooting yourself in the foot?
Well, I think if you're a recruiter, you've got to recognize the fact that knowing that outreach begins way before the initial approach, how are you as a recruiter building your online profile so that when a candidate, you know, sees you, that they understand, you know, what you are doing in the industry, what your network is, how you may contribute to industry discussions, and how you may share interesting and relevant content relating to the market you're working in. So I think there's a piece where recruiters have got to understand their kind of social presence. Outside of that, I think that you've got to stand out from the crowd, I think, really just in terms of your level of understanding about the role that you're positioning. So have you got the right level of information on the job that you assume by your approach suits the candidate? Do you have the right level of information about the package, etc.? But more, do you have good information on the company in question and really understand them and, you know, why you think this is a good fit? And some quite interesting information came about that, and how through the process you position a company up front, but also take that candidate on a journey so that they understand the culture of the employer that you're positioning them for.
Okay, so a lot of preparatory work there. All right, so let's move on to the next section, which is inspiring the application. So nowadays, candidates, just like buyers, they're very well informed. They like to kick a few tires before they apply, perhaps. So how long do candidates spend gathering information before applying?
So I think, again, companies have got to recognize recruitment's kind of moved on from being a sales-led function to one that's largely marketing-led. And candidates, through our research, have told us that they can spend up to 2 months gathering information on a company before actually physically taking the step to apply.
Yeah.
So digital channels are as prevalent and as important as ever, because candidates are obviously, you know, first port of call is going to be the company's website. And our research shows us that 49% of professionals in the research tell us that they follow companies on social media. So obviously, you know, things like a LinkedIn career page and how companies are representing themselves on Facebook, Glassdoor, etc., are obviously really key. And indeed, this is a two-way street, right? So it's important that companies use digital channels to understand candidates and their employment history, etc. So I think when companies are looking at how they invest in the way that they are branding themselves online, there are some key takeaways in the research to kind of look at. Firstly, are your digital channels easy to understand and easy to navigate? It's a simple thing to say, but often something that isn't necessarily the case. What comes through is the candidates find it interesting and useful when there is an overview of the hiring process on a company's website, so that they can, you know, assess it and understand as they're going through it whether it's being followed. And just in terms of kind of the employer branding piece, I think candidates really appreciate when employees are put at the heart of the branding experience. And if companies are using their employees to create content, create a story, and using things like videos and posting online, I think it really helps bring that kind of employee experience to life for the company in question. So these were some of the things that kind of really jumped out through our research.
Okay, right. So that's before, that's the application. Once you get to an interview stage, I know in the research you also mentioned how much research candidates do before the interview. And how can you help them to present the best version of themselves?
Well, we got a lot of information back on the interview process and just what that means for candidates kind of right now and how they consider preparing for it and ensuring that it's a mutually good experience. And some of the key takeaways were just in terms of the expectations on the duration of it. Candidates are perfectly prepared to expect from application to offer a 3-month period to elapse and are comfortable with the norm being that 3 interviews would take place through that process. So, you know, having gathered the research that they would necessarily do through digital channels, I think it's very key that they understand upfront what the interview process is and feel that through that process, they're really given the space and the time to, portray their fit for the role. And I think it's important that, you know, the employer uses the process in order that they portray all the positive aspects of their business, why they think that the candidate is a good fit, and really allowing through that process a good understanding of their employer culture to come through. And I think one of the key pieces of kind of information we got in terms of feedback from candidates was that they really felt it was useful when a quite broad range of representatives and team members from the company in question were introduced into the interview process. And that can be from quite senior levels down to junior levels, but it was more that breadth and range to give a really good 360-degree view of what it's like to work at that company.
That's interesting. And okay, so they want to see different people interviewing. What else do candidates really want to know from the actual interviewer?
Well, I think one of the things that came through was it irritates candidates when there is duplication in terms of topics.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite key that, you know, companies understand this and that they build a process whereby, you know, there isn't duplication, where it's very clear who's doing what during the process, that interview panels are set up whereby hiring managers are briefed effectively by the recruitment, the recruitment consultants that are working with them, and the discussion topics are identified very clearly up front. I think candidates also really want clear expectations set on the format of the interviews, their length, the topics that are going to be covered, and really the context of them in the overall process from application to offer. This, I think, needs to be done very clearly within the mindset that the impact of a bad interview is very significant. And, you know, the data point that stands out there from the research was that 65% of professionals interviewed said that they would lose interest about a potential employer off the back of a bad interview, which is significant.
Yeah. Another question around seeing culture in action. In the report states that candidates are interested in seeing examples of culture, but how can you actually let someone see that if someone's coming in for an interview?
Well, I think there was a piece just in and around how, when they're on site, you immerse them into the environment of which they're going to be part of. So, you know, the kind of office tour, the walk the floor, the show everybody the range of facilities, really get them close to understanding, you know, what it's like day in, day out to be in that environment. That, as well as, you know, as I said, engaging them with a wide range of people and letting them tell the story. I think another key thing is how you allow them to understand what, you know, the perks are in that environment. That's not just working environment. That's also not just the belts and braces of the financial package, but that's also an articulation of the, you know, the benefits and, you know, the out of salary perks that come with the role.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. I remember working as a recruitment consultant and used to debrief candidates who went for an interview, and the questions was always, okay, did they discuss salary? Did they show you the team? Did they walk you around the office? All of those bits were sort of good buying signals. The more time they were willing to invest in that candidate, the more likely the candidate was to get an offer. Right. Finally, we have closing the deal. So we've got people interested. They're applying. They're going through the interview process. Now, what is the main reason that people change jobs, first of all?
So, I mean, I think it's folly to ignore, you know, the fact that money is still a huge motivator for people wanting to move job. And that came through as very clear. You know, outside of that, and I think that needs to be respected, and recruiters need to understand that that's still a key motivator and need to be clear on expectations there. The other kind of, you know, key non-financial ones were, can I find a company where I fit better? Can I find an environment where I'm more regularly and consistently challenged in my role? And can I find a company which is going to invest more in my own professional growth and skills and learning development? And those were the kind of key development items, really. I think it's absolutely critical how employers brand themselves as a place to improve the skills of, you know, people that want to work there. And that actually came through, you know, as a key reason also why people actually stay in companies. Like, they will stay in a company if that company is investing in the development of their skills. That was very clear.
Okay, so salary, investing in skills and growth opportunities and challenging work.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. All right, so this report is available to read, but before we talk about where to find this, I'd just like to ask you, John, what are your tips, what are the main takeaways here for employer brand managers? What do they need to work on?
Well, I think, you know, the key takeaways here are, A, just recognizing the key importance of digital channels. I think understanding the culture of your organization in the first place and understanding how you're building a strategy that firstly, collaborates with the right stakeholders within your organization. So how you're bringing together, you know, talent, marketing, and the partners, internal, external, that are responsible for your brand by your digital channels, and building an ongoing plan and strategies to extend what you're doing with your employer brand consistently, and making that very obvious and easy for candidates to access. I think are absolutely critical things. It's an evolution, and it needs recognition. We hopefully think that this research will, you know, bring this up the agenda of the market, but it's also how you commit to it. And committing to it long term, but also putting your employees at the center of it with you, is really, alongside the collaboration piece, where we see our customers, you know, develop the most successful strategies.
Interesting. All right. And I should also mention that you wrote an article for Undercover Recruiter outlining some of these tips, which I'll put a link to in the show notes. Now, final question, where can people learn more? Where can we download this report? And where can our listeners connect with yourself, John?
Sure. Well, obviously, first point of call will be my profile on LinkedIn. Obviously, yeah. Have to say that. You'll find the Inside the Mind of Today's Candidate report at the LinkedIn Talent Solutions blog post. So that's the area that you'll get access to the research.
Yeah, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes again. John Anderson, thank you very much for your time.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
All right. So how do you like them apples? Lots of information there about candidates and what goes on inside their minds. I'd like to see a report of what goes on inside the recruiter's mind. Now, everything that John and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which by now you know you can find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, a new little feature in order to grow the listenership for this podcast. I try to use social media, email, and other channels to get the word out there, but it's only so much that one man can do. That's why I'm going to enlist you. If you find this podcast of value, could you please be so kind to share it on social media? Use the URL employerbrandingpodcast.com and let me know where you shared it. And then in return, as a big thank you, I will give you a big shout out on the podcast. So thank you very much in advance for that. If you have any questions for me around the employer branding work that we do here at Link Humans, feel free to get in touch via email at jorgen@linkhumans.com. And of course, you can find me on all fine purveyors of social media. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in and catch you next time. Hey, doll.
I did hear this on the shop floor the other day as two colleagues were talking. One saying to the other, said, "Why did you leave your last job?" At which point this person they were talking to said, "Because of something my last boss said." And the response was, "Oh, yeah, what was that?" The answer was, "You're fired."